Hello and welcome to this KSTK Weekend News Update for Saturday, July 13th, 2013. Over the next 15 minutes, we'll take a look back at some of the highlights of this week's news. Turning first to local news, the Planning and Zoning Commission on Thursday discussed a controversial proposed ordinance change at its monthly meeting. The commission did not approve a request by Bernie Masson to change an ordinance that affects his property at Shoemaker Bay. Masson leases a large property at the bay. As the ordinance is currently written, his storage area must be in an enclosed building. In 2008, he asked that he be allowed to store boats and gear in an unenclosed area. The Planning and Zoning Commission denied that request then. He refiled the same request this year. He asked that outside storage be allowed if he erected a fence to obscure the view from the highway and water. Paula Rack says she's been against it for years. She says Masson has been storing equipment out there against the initial ordinance.
He hasn't been following the law, the ordinance. I don't know why we should give him permission to do something else that just opens up a hole in kind of worms for other violations of it.
Commission member Stan Schnell also referenced the 2008 filing and asked if Masson could provide any assurance that his land wouldn't become an eyesore.
Hey, Bernie, in 2008 when we went through this thing, I asked you over and over and over to give us some kind of assurance that if somebody pulled in a 20-foot boat covered with tarps and the tarps got chewed up, that you would take care of it. And you just flat said you would not do it. You would not give us one assurance that you would clean up the mess or make it look good.
Well, all I can say about it is people bring their stuff in. I can tell them to do something, but whether they do it or not, I can't make somebody put a new tarp on the boat sometimes. You know, I can, you know, tell them to leave or whatever, but, you know, it's not that easy. I would try to do that, but I can't make assurances that I can't. You know, it's insurance without a blue, you know.
Masson says Wrangell is a working town, not a tourist town. He says he's just trying to support people making a living by giving them a low-cost space to store their boats. Ann Schnell also spoke out against the proposal during the public hearing.
Tourists all the time go by Shoemaker, and the people who live out there, we go by Shoemaker all the time, and we really don't want to see boat storage and fences. Shoemaker's a beautiful harbor. A lot of people live out there, and I'm just really against any industrial, commercial endeavor out there.
The commission voted overwhelmingly against Masson's proposal. Member Greg Knight was the only dissenting vote in favor of Masson. He says Wrangell needs to support its workers and its fishermen over tourist interests in the town. Continuing with both local and regional news, the latest official redistricting plan keeps Ketchikan in the same House district as Wrangell. Metlakatla and Heidelberg are also included. It puts Petersburg in the same election district as Sitka, Craig, and villages from Hoonah to Hollis. Downtown Juneau is partnered with Haines, Skagway, and Gustavus, and Juneau's Mendenhall Valley remains its own district, surrounded by the downtown to Upper Lynn Canal district. The Alaska Redistricting Board released the plan on Sunday after considering about a dozen and a half sets of boundaries created by staff and outside groups. It said the new map is not the final plan. That's expected to happen during a Sunday meeting. Southeast has four House districts and two Senate districts. The two Juneau-based House districts would be in the same Senate district as they are now. The other two House districts to the south are combined as one Senate district. Turning next to regional news, the effort to recall most of the Ketchikan Indian Community's tribal council, including its president, entered a new phase this week. With 243 signatures, the recall committee has collected more than enough to advance the process, but KIC Tribal Council president says at least some of the reasoning that led to the recall effort stands on shaky legal ground. KRBD's Sean Carlson has more.
Richard Jackson, former Grand Camp president for the Alaska Native Brotherhood and chair of the recall committee, says that despite initial reservations, he is pleased with the response from the Native community.
I wouldn't take this lightly. I don't. We started out, I was a little concerned that we might not have momentum over this issue, but it resonated.
The recall process now moves to the tribal council itself, which will vote on the matter. The effort to hold a referendum on the body and its president, Irene Dundas, began after a controversial May 31st meeting. The tribal council had voted to appoint Dundas as temporary KIC administrator. While serving in that role, Dundas fired Human Resources Director Carlene Howard. The recall targets those members of the council who voted to appoint Dundas to the administrative role. According to Richard Jackson, amendments made to the KIC Constitution this year prevent the president from also serving as CEO. Even more, he says, the firing of Howard was done without just cause.
We charged them with two areas which we could charge or ask a recall for, and that was gross neglect of duty and abuse of powers of office.
From the tribal council's perspective, the constitution approved this year does not yet trump the old one adopted in 1979. This year's constitution is still making its way through the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs, so the tribe is still operating under 1979 rules, according to Irene Dundas. Dundas admits the process of approving a new constitution is confusing and says that the Bureau of Indian Affairs probably should be more transparent with how it operates. She even says that a recall election is healthy for the community, a temperature taking of sorts. What Dundas does believe, though, is that the original vote on the new constitution was faulty and thus invalid. She told KRBD in an interview that certain mandatory procedures were not followed. If they were, she says, the public may have been better informed about the issues.
It's the process of how the hearings were presented or how the documents were presented to the membership is what is there is possible deficiencies, and that's the possible invalid for the invalid election.
The signatures on the petition now move to a review process. From there, the tribal council has 15 days to vote on the issue. That process may be difficult, however, as members of the council are prohibited from participating in a recall vote if they themselves are the target of the recall. Only one member of the council, Dolores Churchill, did not participate in the vote and as such is not a target. She was unavailable for comment by deadline on this story. Carlene Howard, the former human resources director at KIC, declined to comment. In Ketchikan, I'm Sean Carlson.
Next in regional news, the financial picture is improving for the Inter-Island Ferry Authority, which connects Prince of Wales Island and Ketchikan. But the Southern Southeast system still needs more money to maintain a full schedule all year long. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Prince of Wales Island counts on the daily sailings of the Stikine, run by the Inter-Island Ferry Authority.
It gives us daily, year-round access for business and travel and recreation to the rest of the world.
That's Sharon Brosamley, who works with the island's Chamber of Commerce. One example, she says, is some people she knows who run a fish processing operation.
It's because of daily ferry service that they were able to continue to operate and stay in business because they could get their product over to Ketchikan for shipping.
The Inter-Island Ferry Authority is separate from the Alaska Marine Highway System, but it's still gotten funding from the legislature. That wasn't the case this year, so the authority was left scrambling to fill a $750,000 gap in its $4 million annual budget. General Manager Dennis Watson says that's changed.
We have it pared down. If all goes well, it may look more like a $500,000 or a little bit less.
He says the authority got $100,000 more than expected from a federal grant.
There is also another federal transit program. It's a discretionary ferry boat money program that looks like it might bear some fruit, too. We're just not too sure yet.
The authority is also able to carry over funds from the previous budget year, which ended June 30th. That's because fuel cost less than expected.
That'll bring us in a couple more bucks as well, but we still have a ways to go to get where we need to be right now.
Watson says the authority is talking to the governor's office about some help, but in the meantime, he has to consider what to do about a shortfall. About three-quarters of the authority's budget is covered by passenger and vehicle fares, so cutting service also means losing revenue. Watson says a lot depends on outside factors, such as the fishing industry.
If we wind up with a huge purse seine fleet out here this year, or troll fleet, because there are just lots of cohos, that all transfers into people getting on the ferry and going back and forth in between here and Ketchikan, or to go over there to catch a plane to go somewhere else, you know, when they get a couple of minutes off.
Watson says one of the authority's largest customers is the E.C. Phillips Fish Processing Plant, which trucks salmon from Prince of Wales to Ketchikan. There's also tourists, hunters, and sports fishermen, but he says so far, summer passenger loads have been nothing special.
Although this last few days it's been kind of like a rocket went off. I hope that continues. Pool boat goes a long ways towards helping us out in the in play.
Prince of Wales and nearby communities formed the authority in 1997. It started sailing in 2002, replacing an increasing service previously provided by the state ferries. The IFA later added a second route, linking Kaufman Cove, Wrangell, and Petersburg, but it didn't attract enough customers to continue. A separate nonprofit group, called the North End Ferry Authority, plans to take over that route, plus one from Kaufman Cove to Ketchikan, starting next year. This is Ed Schoenfeld.
And finally, turning back to local news, the Wrangell cruise ship season is from early May until mid-September. The Regatta is making 8 trips to town this summer. Though only mid-sized by industry standards, it's the largest ship that docks here at 684 passengers with 400 crew. I spoke with some of the passengers on the Regatta while it was in town on July 2nd.
Yes, I'm Bob and this is Pat and we're from state of Maryland.
Well, we've never been to Alaska. We certainly wanted to see Alaska. And after seeing Alaska, I have one more state left and I will have gone to all of them.
Really? What's the state you've got left?
Hawaii.
Hawaii? Do you have any plans to go there?
Well, there will be eventually. But we love Alaska. We've done a lot of different things off ship since we've been here. We went in a seaplane yesterday. Today we went on a jet boat cruise. Yes, we saw the glacier.
Yeah. What did you think of the glacier?
Oh, it was
great.
Wow,
yeah. It was fabulous.
And
fabulous.
We went with Big John.
One thing that we can't stop talking about between the two of us, the patriotism here for the 4th of July, we just love it.
Yeah.
Well, Baltimore, Maryland's a little larger.
Yeah.
And where we're from, you know, it's on the larger size. Some of the smaller towns do have parades, you know, that are dedicated more to their local residents. But we're just crazy about the use of the flag and the pole. You know, we were watching
nature, the wildlife, and the clean air. On the East Coast, we have no clean air. So it's been very refreshing for us. And we've been on the big cruises, and we prefer the smaller cruises. It gets you into places where you can't get to with the large cruise ships. So there's a lot of value in that.
I'm Mary Beth Johnson from Corning, New York. We brought a whole family of us. There are 15 of us that came on a family reunion. Every other year we do a trip, and we decided, what the heck, we'll go to Alaska when it's warm. We've done the big ship, and we did a little ship in Europe, so we decided to do this medium-sized one so we could come to little towns like this and get in closer. We got off, and we came in early, and nothing was open, and it was kind of quiet, so we were a little worried. But then we walked out to the beach, the petroglyph beach, and then we came back, and everything was open, and we're really excited about all your 4th of July stuff that you have going on.
Oh, really? Was that surprising to see?
Yes, yeah. The whole queen, that was all really interesting to us, and how it finances the fireworks and everything, and it's very interesting. Yeah, but it was really fun, and everyone is so friendly here. The people are really nice. Everyone will talk to you. All the clerks stop and ask where you're from, and tell you their story, and it's really fun.
My name is Shri, and I am from Miami, Florida. And I'm originally from India, but migrated to Miami about 15 years ago.
Okay.
This is my vacationing time here. Just to see different people, different cultures, and to explore the great country of United States of America. It is good. It has its own culture and it has its own economy, which is good. And you know, it's different from what I'm used to, but it's a definitely a good change. And what I respect and commend is the people who have kept their native environment around them in pristine condition. That is what I see and I admire. Like, if you see everywhere, the local public are very much worried about conserving what the natural resources they have, and that is one thing which amazes me. You know, they are not just into money making, but it's more of keeping their, oh, we can't do that because, you know, that will harm the environment. That's what I saw.
Irene McDermott from Annapolis, Maryland.
And Joe Allwine from Annapolis, Maryland.
We've never been to Alaska before, and it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. And we've never been on a cruise before, but we thought it was a great way to visit Alaska. Looks like Alaska, what we thought Alaska would be. We thought there would be no high rises. We thought we'd see a lot of trees and nature and conservation. And it's quiet, peaceful, friendly.
And we knew about the fishing, and we this morning we did our bear excursion where we got to see the bears hunt for salmon, which was, you can only see that probably in Alaska. So that's
we'll
one of the.
We'll never see that again.
It was great, a great
it's
experience.
Awesome.
Those were passengers off the Oceania Cruises Liner Regatta from July 2nd. The last ship of the season is the Safari Endeavor, which will dock in Wrangell on September 19th. And that concludes our weekend news update. Thanks for tuning in to KSTK-FM, your source for daily local news in Wrangell.